Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Acts chapter 15, verses 12 through 22. The Reverend Dr. Tyler Arnold is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The reading for the Festival of St. James of Jerusalem is from Acts chapter 15. All the assembly fell silent, and they listened to Barnabas and Paul as they related with signs and wonders what God has done through them among the Gentiles. After they finished speaking, James replied, "Brothers, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree. Just as it is written, 'After this, I will return, and I will rebuild the tent of David that has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will restore it, that the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from of old.' Therefore, my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God, but should write to them to abstain from the things polluted by idols and from sexual immorality and from what has been strangled and from blood. For from ancient generations, Moses has had in every city those who proclaim him, for he is read every Sabbath in the synagogues. Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church to choose men from among them and send them to Antioch with Barnabas and Paul. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The reception of the Gentiles into Christ's holy church was still hanging in the balance, even after Simon Peter related how God had visited the Gentiles and took for himself this people. Then it is James who spoke. And to ratify, if you will, how important these words from Peter actually are. Now, James was a leader. He was head of the church in Jerusalem. He is called the brother of Jesus himself, though this could be disputed, and even sometimes by the church fathers. Though we know, James, nonetheless, was a very important figure in the church. And he had a special resurrection of the appearance of Jesus all to himself. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He was a pillar of the church, of course, as I just said, as related to us even in Paul's letter to the Galatians. He was so content in prayer that they said even that his knees were as hard and calloused as those of a camel because he knelt and he prayed so long. And so often. And further, this man is called James the Just, for he was trusted with the word of God upon his lips for the sake of the ears and hearts and lives of others. And further, this is very important too. He was a rigorous observer of the law. If this man, a pillar of the church, a man who rightly taught and understood the scriptures, came down on the side of the Gentiles, then we should as well. And James did, for sure. It was his judgment that the Gentiles should be allowed into the church without hindrance. But even when they were allowed in, the matter of ordinary social interaction came into play. How could a strict Orthodox Jew consort with a Gentile? The Gentiles did all sorts of polluted activities that the Jewish Christians had absolutely, could absolutely have nothing to do with. So, in this message of togetherness, it wasn't just all about how the Jewish Christians received the Gentiles or should receive the Gentiles and come alongside of them, but also how the Gentiles are to act themselves. For they still needed to follow the first commandment. I'll give you an example. There's three that James gives us. James says that the Gentiles must abstain from the contaminations of idols. That was a food regulation. One of the great problems of the early church was the problem of meat offered to idols. In fact, Paul addresses this quite directly in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I'll just read a portion of that. It says, "As the eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence, and that there is no God but one." What was behind all this? Well, when the heathen were sacrificing to the idols in their temples, often only a very small portion of that meat was sacrificed. And that part was given, the other part, to them so that they may celebrate with their friends in their homes or maybe at the temple itself. And then the pagan priests would offer another part to the idols. And they may even take it for themselves to sell again to others. And such a meat that had been offered to an idol, and the idols were really the demons and devils themselves. A Christian must not risk pollution by eating such meat. And then also, James tells us, abstain from fornication. St. Paul addresses this again in his first letter to the Corinthians, this time in chapter 8. Paul says, "It is better for a man to have a wife rather than to practice the sexual activities that the pagans practiced." This was an offense also to the Jewish Christians, of course, and the Gentiles are to come alongside of the Jews, the Christians, and be pure, in the unpure world, the impure world that they had around them. They also must abstain from things that were strangled from blood. To the Jew, the blood was life. They also argued because when the blood flowed away from life, the thing that was sacrificed, then life also ebbed also. Therefore, all Jewish meat was killed and treated in such a way that the blood was drained off, for the blood was the life, and the life belonged to God. So the Gentile is even ordered by James here to eat the meat that is prepared in the way that the Jews prepared it. Had these simple regulations been observed, now there could be association between the Jews and the Gentiles. There were social conditions that were really setting them apart that they turned into religious function. It's really interesting to see how these two groups needed to really come together in order to stand together under the confession of Christ Jesus their Lord. And if they weren't observed, how could they become together? But of course, the distinction for us is that Jew or Gentile or whomever that might be, those that we proclaim Jesus to this entire world, come together under the hand of Christ, under the death and resurrection of the one who was sent to give us all that is good. Because let us not forget, of course, for the reason that this council in Jerusalem was called in the first place. It says at the beginning of chapter 15, "But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, 'Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved.'" The Jews also needed to understand the gospel. Outward signs and acts of the flesh are not the reason that God saves us. Of course, we know that. Not all. Instead, it is because of Jesus and what he did. It's not because of what we do. So James, just like St. Paul, took on the responsibility of giving the church what it gives in terms of understanding and receiving what Christ has given to each other. And it was all for the purpose of Christ at the very center of all things. All peoples belong to God, and God wants all people to be saved. We are one body with many members. Each of those members has a role to play according to the gifts that are given to them by the Holy Spirit. That's particularly apropos for such a group of the body of Christ that gathers here in this place. Many functions for the same purpose, for the sake of the church. And though we may not be able to apply the difference between a Jew and the Gentile so much in our modern context, we do have different customs, different worlds, different people in those worlds that we reach out and bring the gospel to. And not always do we see them as the same. As people gathered under the cross of Christ, forgiven and loved, and that we have those things, those blessed things, very much in common. God brings us together from all over, from all kinds of different backgrounds, all kinds of different skill sets for the people that are his own. And so we bear witness to Christ our Savior, just like James. So James, as we hear in Acts chapter 15, stood in front of the synodical convention. I mean to say, the congregation at Jerusalem for the council that was met there. And he gathered there and he doubled down on the unity that comes through the gospel of Jesus Christ. The unity that transpired when Jesus died for the sins of the world. Your sins and my sins. When God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. For who? For you and me. For the world. This Jerusalem council revolved around one critical issue. And that critical issue was that the Jews and the Gentiles belong to the church together. And that means all peoples, Jews and Gentiles, make up the church. And for both Jews and Gentiles, nothing they did could earn themselves the right to heaven. But the Jerusalem Council was about God's grace for the sake of all people. Grace for others who wrongs us, who persecutes us, for those who rise up against us and the church. Yes, even for them. Grace from us toward others. Grace from our Lord, who loves us to the ends of the earth. We pray for those who stand outside of the church. That's what we do as Christians, people who are a part of the church. We pray for those outside because they need to hear Jesus. And thanks be to God, we're all about just doing exactly that. We are the church. And God gathers us under his cross. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.